We're looking at biblical principles of finances, and every once in a while we're throwing in these cautions, don't get focused on the wrong thing. Don't try to use God as a sugar daddy type mentality, to where you're serving God for what you can get. That's the wrong motive. You understand? That's the wrong motive for any relationship. Natural relationship, spiritual relationship. Never enter into a relationship for what you can get. Enter in and see what you can give. In other words, go into it with a giving mentality. And that's how we should be in our relationship with the Lord. When you go into ministry, ministering for the Lord, it's not what it does for you, but you're ministering for the Lord, so it's what it's doing for other people. Now, we can glory in the Lord. We can get excited about what the Lord's doing in people's lives, but it's never to bring attention to ourselves, and it's not to feed our ego. Hopefully you get that crucified, to where there is no ego, and to where we're just following the Spirit of God. And we talked about covenant, how we have a better covenant with the new covenant than with the old covenant. And the covenant God cut in the old with Abraham, that's how it began, a blood covenant. And then the new covenant God cut with one person, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that too was a blood covenant. So when we talk about our covenant rights and privileges, it's the rights and privileges we have by being one with Jesus. And a lot of people are trying to get things outside of Jesus, but our inheritance is in Him. God didn't cut the covenant with you. He cut it with Him. And if you want to enjoy the benefits of the covenant, you have to remain in Him. And then God wants this covenant manifested. I believe that. God wants people to see the beauty of being in right relationship with the Lord and being in covenant with God through that relationship, because the purpose of that is to produce fruit. Now, here again, keep the distinction between natural and spiritual. Natural produces natural fruit. Spiritual produces spiritual fruit. So the fruit that's to be manifested in our life is spiritual fruit. Okay? So then we talk about prosperity. When we talk about all these things relating to prosperity, we're talking about something that's taking place in the Spirit that makes us profitable for God, to where we are great investments because we're bringing great return back to the Lord. That's a spiritual thing. Now, in the process of that, the natural gets blessed. But you don't seek the blessing. Never seek the blessing. Stay fixed on the Lord. See, the ability to get wealth, as the Scriptures teach, is actually governed by spiritual principles or scriptural principles. And hopefully we're going to learn these scriptural principles throughout this study. Okay? Now, don't put a guard up when we start talking about tithes and offering and giving. I promise you I will not pass a plate. That is no motive. There is no other motive than to want you to learn the principle of God for your own benefit. Okay? So I want to talk to you about tithes and offerings. Giving tithes and offerings is a scriptural principle. I mean, God said it. Now listen to me. Don't come at Pete and say that's Old Testament. That's in the law. I'm going to tell you that tithe took place before Moses was born. Abraham gave tithe to Melchizedek. Jesus is after the order of Melchizedek, not after the order of Levi. You with me? Jacob also, who was the grandson of Abraham, you see him giving tithe to the Lord as well. So get your doctrine right on tithing. I've been around with some people, well, tithe, that's the old covenant, we're not obligated. You're not. You're not obligated to live for God. You can be a murderer, a thief, and you can be anything you want to be if you're that stupid. But there's detrimental things to that. And you actually work against yourself when you don't follow the principles of God. So, tithe and offering play a major role in God's financial plan. They're distinctly different, although both are presented to the Lord. We've already established, I trust by now, that the word tithe means tenth. You can't give 9%, you can't tithe 9%, you can't tithe 11%. You tithe 10%. Anything over 10% then is offering. Okay? So, it's tithe and offering, not tithe or offering. Alright? Now, the tithe is what we, not what we give to God, but what we give back to God. Malachi talks about, will a man rob God? You can't rob somebody of something that doesn't belong to them. Can you? So then if they're robbing God, then evidently the tithe belongs to God. And God states that it does. And that's how the tribe of Levi was supported, was through the tithe given to God, and God said, their inheritance is me. The tithe is their inheritance. And so when the tithe and offering was withheld, then one tribe of Israel was doing without. They had to go to the fields or do whatever to try to get some source of income. All right? So, the tithe is God's property. One who used the tithe under the old covenant. Let's say you had a good crop, and you said, you know, I'd like to keep that crop. You know, man, my vine did this, my vine did that, my fruit trees did that. I'd like to have that. So, here's what you could do. You could buy it and give 20% interest. So, if that came in, that harvest came in, you said, well, I want to keep that, then you gave the value of the harvest and took 20% and added that to that. You with me? Because they were doing it not with money per se, but with crops. Now, sacrifices, the firstborn, you couldn't redeem that one. That's God's. Okay? But there were some provision. But you couldn't take God's tithe. You could buy it and give Him some profit on it. You with me? All this is in the Bible. All you have to do is go to Leviticus chapter 27, verse 31. You can read that. Now, according to Malachi chapter 3, verse 9, one who did not tithe was cursed. Now, if you want to walk in the curse, you can walk in the curse. If you want to walk in the blessing, you can walk in the blessing. They're out there. It's not that God's going to curse you if you don't. The curse is out there. Do things God's way, you walk in the blessing. If you don't do things God's way, you walk in a curse. It's just as simple as that. No gray area, either or, okay? But we choose. So, he said if you didn't tithe, they were cursed. So, God classifies one who does not tithe as a robber. You don't want to turn your back on a robber. Man is steal from God, might steal from you. What do you think? All right, we'll move right along. So one-tenth of everyone's increase belongs to God, according to Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 22. However, man is given stewardship over 100%. But the tenth is God's. All right? And so, you're entrusted. God is entrusting man with his goods, if you will. All right? And through that entrustment, that trust, it gives God an avenue to bless man. So really, God has set this up as an avenue for him to bless those who follow the principle. So, you have 90%. That's all you ever have is 90%. If you use the other 10%, you steal it. Not from man, from God, ultimately from yourself. And it obeys you how well you can get along on 90, or 80, or 70. You with me? I heard a guy one time, you know, he was teaching, he said, you know, he's called his wife, Mama. Mama and me, you know, we live off of 10% of our income. I believe it's 10, maybe 20%. We live off 20% of our income. And somebody asked him, said, "How do you do that?" It's something like, Mom and me don't have no problem living off $100,000 a year. Now, here was the thing. They just started out and kept giving and kept increasing and kept increasing. God kept blessing. They kept giving and God kept blessing. They didn't get greedy in the process. You understand? But what happens so often is people, you know, it's not as hard for some people to pay a penny off of a dime as it is to give $10 off a hundred. Or a hundred off of a thousand. $100. Whoa. It's amazing what plays on people's mind, not understanding that they're robbing themselves by robbing God. You deprive yourself because you cut off God's means of blessing you. And this is a means for God to bless you. Okay? So, we have 90%. God has 10%, but He trusts us with the whole 100% to use it properly. Alright? Now, the purpose of giving tithes and offering is not to benefit the Lord per se. It's used to take care of God's house. Okay? So, it also puts the one who gives the tithe and offering in a position to receive from the hand of the Lord. Okay? The Lord, you're giving him an opportunity to bless you. So, tithe to the Christian, or to, you know, I see it this way, it's like seed to the sower. You want a harvest, sow. Real simple, isn't it? So, tithe is a good investment. You're putting that right back to the Lord, trusting the Lord to bless you enough to live off of 90. Actually less, because you're going, we haven't got the offering yet. Okay? And I have some convictions on that, or my personal convictions. Don't get stingy with the offerings. Okay? Offerings, I believe, play a major role in a Christian's finances. Actually, if you look at the principle found in Luke 6:38, he says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." How? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Now, can you get a picture of this? How many of you know what a bushel basket is? Or a tub, or whatever. You put something in it, and you start shaking it, and you push on, you work that, and then it gives room to put more in. Okay? And so the object is to get that so compacted and pressed so tight that container is filled to capacity. This is what he's talking about. Pressed down, shaken together. Now, he didn't say God's going to bring some money down from heaven. He said men will give into your bosom. Okay? And this is the way God blesses people, through people. The body of Christ ministers to the body of Christ. The body of Christ blesses the body of Christ. You understand? God has it set up this way. Then he goes on to say, for with the same measures, the way the King James Version says, but here's what he says. It's proportionate to how you give. So, if you only want a little bit of blessing, just give a little bit. But don't give a teaspoon and expect a dump truck return. It won't work that way. It's proportionate. For with the same measure you meet with all, it shall be measured back to you. Isn't it amazing how little we want to give to God and how much we want God to give to us? It's proportionate. Okay? So you see this principle in Luke 6:38. If you do not give offerings, you rob God. But you deprive yourself. See, a lot of people just say it's tithes. I get amused when I hear these preachers, they preaching on tithes and just tithes and tithes and tithes. They never say anything about offering. No, it's tithe and offering. Michaela, if you would, pull up Proverbs 11, and I want us to look at verses 24 and 25. Just to show you that this is a scriptural principle, he says, there is one who scatters, yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The world's way is saying hoard. God's way is saying distribute. The world says take. God says give. Now, here again, it's a real simple principle. If you want seed to come up, you scatter seed. And when you harvest, you keep part of the seed for the next year, for the next crop. Don't eat all you harvest. And a lot of people, when God blesses them, they want to eat the harvest. This is called management. This is called managing finances. Don't spend every penny you have. Have you ever heard it said of somebody that money just burning a hole in their pocket? You know what that means? They were doing all right and they got that money. Now they're trying to figure out what can I buy? And that's the way society's going today. What can I buy? What can I buy? And the bottom line is, it's not that you have a need per se. The Lord would like to speak to you and say, how about blessing such and such a person? So the reason you have that in your pocket is for somebody else. You know, one day a lady came to me and she said, I just feel like I'm supposed to do this. And this was totally out of character for this lady, okay? And she gave me some money. And I didn't need a thing. And I almost felt guilty about taking it because I didn't need anything. But I got checked on it, take it. And so I did. And about a month or two after, I just held on to it. And about a month or two after that, the Spirit of the Lord put me in a place and said, give that to that person. So then all I was a courier. You understand? That person would never see that person. Didn't know that person. And so God had that person to give to me so that person's need could be met. You with me? So God wants to bless you so you can be a blessing. If you're not being a blessing, something's wrong with this picture. And it's going to come back on you. Okay? God's in the circulation business. Right? Let it circulate. And you know, sometimes I sort of get overwhelmed. And I'm talking about just water running down my cheeks and just thinking, Lord, you're so good to me. And it's a privilege to be able to help other people. Now, I want you to listen to this. The blessed one is not the barrier. Michael, if you would, pull up Deuteronomy 28. And we're going to see what blessing actually, what it actually is, okay? Now, it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Did you get the word diligently? Not haphazardly, not occasionally. To observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. You don't seek them, they seek you. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and all which you set your hand, and He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people. May I say it this way? The Lord will establish you as a distinct people, not like anybody else, all right? To Himself, just as He has sworn to you, if you keep His commandments. If you keep the commandments of the Lord, walk in His way. Then all the people of the earth will see that you're called by the name of the Lord, and they'll be afraid of you. We're talking about blessing. Yeah, you understand? And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods and the fruit of your body, the increase of your livestock and the produce of your ground in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season. That's a blessing, you understand, rain. And to bless all the work of your hand, you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. The blessing's not in the borrowing. And it's amazing how the mentality of the world today is you do everything you can to get borrowing power. And you have these accountants, you know, with these businesses and all these wealthy people trying to figure out this and how you depreciate this and accrue this and all, how to make it look the best you can so you can get the most money. And churches have fallen prey to that. We're not even realizing that's not a blessing. The blessing's not to have to borrow. That's the blessing, all right? And the Lord will make you the head, not the tail. You shall be above only, not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the right hand or the left to go after other gods to serve them. And then there's the but. And that's the rest of the chapter, all down to verse 60, whatever it is. 7, 8. So, do you want to walk in the blessing of God? Then obey God. Is the Old Testament part of the Word of God? Isn't it amazing how people get so brain dead when it comes to the Bible? I've had people to tell me, "Well, I'm a New Testament person. I'm New Covenant." I had someone, you know, say, "I don't read the Old Testament. I read New Testament." I said, "Well, why don't you take your Bible and rip that out? Because evidently it's not good for anything." Some of these things can stir me. Okay? How foolish can you be? Let me tell you something. God doesn't change. What God believed in the Old Testament, God still believes in the New Testament. What God did in the old, God will do in the new. The principles of God never change. And this is what we're talking about. Biblical principles of finances. They have never changed. Now, we were just talking about this last night. My granddaughter stayed with me, and we just happened to be reading in Leviticus right now. And when I got through reading, Sherry said, "Boy, I'm glad we don't live under the law and have to do all this." And we'd sit there and talk about it a little while. I mean, think about having to take animal sacrifices constantly and all that's involved in all that. And then last night we were in the sanitary laws, you know. And not to be graphic, but you ladies know there's a time of month, and then how you, by the law, you just cut off, you isolated. You are unclean. Nobody can touch you. And if they do, they are unclean. And you have to wash, and you're unclean until the evening. And then once that's over, then you have to go through this cleansing process, and then you have to take your turtle doves and your pigeons. Can you imagine doing that every month? What was that all about? God was using a natural thing to teach a spiritual truth. He's just using a natural thing to teach a spiritual truth. He was showing the difference between clean and unclean. Now, aren't you glad that when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and when you ask forgiveness for your sins, not only does He forgive them, but He cleanses you from all unrighteousness. You understand? All those things are pointing to something. I'm just so thankful that I'm born in this time. You understand? Had I not been born in this time, I would have been killed. Probably. For sinning. I mean, you think about it. You do that, you die. You do that, you die. You do that, you die. We're blessed people. I mean, we can laugh about some things, but honestly, it's extremely serious when you think about it. A lot of people don't want to go in and read Leviticus, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. I don't want to get into that. And what you do, you cut yourself off from learning some valuable principles that God has. Okay? And then Leviticus is where you learn the law of tithing. Okay? And so, we're told these things that we're to do this to get this type result. So, if you don't do that, you're asking for negative results. Amazing, isn't it? Well, how is it that heathen become millionaires? Because they're wiser in this generation. They know how to use their system more than you know how to use God's. That's why. But think about this. Think about how short-lived that is. So how long are they going to be millionaires? Till they die. Maybe. Depends on the economy. Because circumstances are controlling. Not with God. The economy does not affect God. Paul wrote to the Philippians 4:19, I believe it is, "My God shall supply all your need." According to what? His riches where? In glory. In glory. Not in the bank. Not on Wall Street. According to His riches in glory. So what happens down here doesn't affect God's financial system. God knows the resources. You understand? All the silver and gold is the Lord, according to Haggai. All the silver and gold is the Lord. God said, I own the hills and all the cattle on it. 1,000 hills and all the cattle on it. The earth is mine and the fullness thereof and the people who dwell in it. I own it. So what kind of financial crisis is God in? He's not. And people get into financial crisis because they get their eyes off God. And they start looking at the world system and they're ignorant of God's system. They're ignorant of the principles of God. They're ignorant of the kingdom of God. They don't know how God's kingdom works. All they know is how the world's kingdom works. Invest, 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 invest. Someone just told me not long ago, person said, I lost $10,000 last night. Stock market. Newspaper every day or watching. What's the Dow? What's the NASDAQ? I don't know. I don't have nothing up there. You understand? How's God doing? God's economy doesn't go up and down. If you could graph God's economy, it's always at the top. Go to the top of the chart and draw a straight line all the way across. That's God's economy. There's no peaks and valleys in God's economy. Now, the amazing thing about it is Jesus knew that system so well that he didn't have to have a pocket full of money. That's why he could send Peter and say, the first fish that you catch, take the coin out of its mouth. He was tapped into God's resources. Listening to the Spirit, he knew where to go. You see, that's how God wants to bless us, is by following the Spirit. But most people follow the natural. You know, we'll go through all these financial management courses and all this type thing. And I'm not saying it's all bad. You need to know how to manage your finances. But honestly, common sense will do that. This is what I make, and I can't spend more than that. That's sort of a no-brainer. But it's not working real well today. Okay? But with God, God says, all right, when you get that 10%, go ahead and put that, the tithe, and then whatever offering you want to give, you go ahead and give the offering. People say, well, I can't. I'm strapped. So I'll keep stealing from God. Now, they don't say that. You with me? But what they're doing is they're going to stay strapped. You have to start somewhere. That widow had to give Elisha what she had. She had to feed him first. But what happened? Did it cost her? Not only did she not lose, she gained. You understand? And so when you give to God, don't give to start saying, well, I'm going to be a millionaire, and I'm going to be this, and I'm going to be that. I got my faith out on this, and I got my faith out on that, and I got my faith out on that. I got a word for you. It's found in Hebrews 6. Put your faith toward God. Not on stuff. Not on things. You don't use your faith to get this and get that. You keep your faith on God, and you follow God and obey God, and it says the blessings come after you. You don't go after them. So this is the principle that you have to learn. So, the tithes and offerings brought to the storehouse, and we understand that being the temple of God. You can look at Deuteronomy 26 on that. And when you brought the tithe to the storehouse, you presented it to the priest, who in turn presented them to the Lord. Isn't it interesting? You presented it to the priest. That's called tithing the tithe. And we'll talk about that here a little later on. But the tithe and offering were presented to the priest, who in turn presented them to the Lord. And you have your references in your study guide, Numbers 18, verses 20 through 32. And then the priest had the responsibility of properly distributing the tithes and offerings. That's our responsibility. It's amazing to me, and I've had people to come talk to me about problems going on in other churches. You know, what am I supposed to do because they're misusing the money? I'm putting this money in, and they're using it for this. I said, you give the money to the church or God? You give the money to God. Forget about it. You gave the money to God. If they're misusing that money, they're accountable to God, not you. It's not yours. You gave it to God, not the church. And if you're putting it in a church where God's name's not in, you're just wasting anyway. That's like sowing grass seed and concrete, expecting a beautiful return. That's amazing how many people put their money where God's name's not resting. So what kind of return are you going to get on that? No, he said, take it where my name is. So you put it where God's name rests. Then it's up to the priest to utilize that properly. They're entrusted with God's money. All right? So, there's a generosity that goes beyond tithes and offering and gives to those in need. Now, don't confuse that with tithes and offering. From time to time, somebody will come to me and say, well, I gave my tithe. There was a need over here, so I gave my tithe over there. That's between you and God. You don't have to give an account to me, but I can tell you this. There is a spiritual principle that you give the tithe and offering to the Lord. What I give to anybody else is over above tithe and offering. I don't subtract that the next week. You with me? Now, listen to me. This is God's Word, and it works. And I am a witness that it works. An eyewitness. It works anyway. I know it works. It amazes me because I can't explain it. By the world standards, I know what I make compared to what other people make, but I know that God can move on me to do things that other people won't do. It's, they have a lot more to do with if you look at a W-2 form. I can look at that's a 1099. I'm self-employed, okay. I can look at that 1099 and I don't even know how it happened. How could I do this? It's not based on that. It's based on obeying God, and God just blesses you. I'll tell you how you can do it. You can do something when you go out and you don't have to pay for the meal. Somebody else is buying your meal. So it didn't cost you anything. I'm telling you it works. How's that? All right? It works. So, let's put it into practice. Don't turn people away. That's legitimate. Now, I don't go out here and just waste money on panhandlers. You with me? And, you know, all these people out here that are begging and doing all this because they don't want to work. It's not that they can't work. You know, the social service office is right up the hill. And every once in a while, I may be going out to the post office or going somewhere, and I look, and it's amazing to me how many people in their early 20s are going up there and getting money, and they don't have to work. and people want to do it. Well, let's feed the homeless. Let's do this. Let's do that. The Bible says the poor you'll have with you always. Okay? Because some choose that way of life. I believe in helping people that can't help themselves. I don't believe in supporting dumb habits. I don't believe that. And I believe that that is abusing God's money. If you take God's money and you give it to people too sorry to work, then that's poor stewardship. And the leadership of the church has responsibility for proper distribution of God's money. And the Lord dealt with me over the years because I used to give to any and everything that came along. And then I got to work. God dealing with me. No, I'm not going to do it. Well, the Bible says, anybody ask, you give to them. So somebody walks up to the parking lot at Walmart and says, give me all your money. Well, go ahead. If you believe the principle. If you believe that's a spiritual principle. See, we can take any scripture out of context. We can abuse anything. There's wisdom in all this. And so you operate with wisdom. Bring your tithe and offering to the Lord. And then when someone has a need that you can help, then help them. It may not always be with money. It may be with your skills, your abilities. Somebody has something broke, you can fix it, go fix it. And don't charge them. You with me? I wish the church would catch that vision because there's so many people, especially you have older generation that, especially where there's no man in the house and the woman does not know how to do things and doesn't have the means to do things, and you have able-bodied people in the church with skills, with abilities that can actually do the work and probably pay for the parts. Now, what if the body of Christ would do that? Everybody would be blessed. They would be blessed and you would be blessed. And God's blessing you so you can be a blessing. You getting any of this? I'm telling you, it works. So, God doesn't just casually mention tithe and offering in the Bible. It's vital. Okay, it's a command of God. And for those that think that's all just the Old Testament, how does Paul says that the minister, the man who ministers the gospel should live by the gospel. Well, how is he going to live by the gospel if no one's given to God? It didn't say he was to be a hireling. You understand? It didn't say he's to go. Well, how much you going to pay me? You just go because you're supposed to go, and if they don't give you a dime, God will take care of you. You don't go to get the money. That's not even on your mind. It's amazing to me, and I know it's because people have been exposed to it, but they'll ask me this, I'll say, how much do you charge? At some point, I say, if you can get me to do it, if you can get me to do your wedding, it won't cost you anything. But I'm not volunteering. I'm not hanging out at Shingle says I do weddings or funerals or counseling. You understand? No, we have to learn to give. Not only out of our finances, but also give out of our abilities that God's given us. Okay? Now, I probably need to qualify something here. I feel such a responsibility when I do a wedding that it gets me uptight because is it going to work? And I've had some that have done the ceremony and they divorced and it bothers me. Did I say enough? What didn't I do? And I have one mother that just really lambasted me. I mean, but met me in the parking lot at the post office, and because, well, I'm supposed to be, you man of God, you should have recognized. I did recognize some things. But I can tell you right now, the very one, if I would have said what I thought, then it all got mad and left the church anyway. You understand? So I'm gonna follow their lead. I'm gonna put some cautions out here. You understand? I'll put the cautions out there. Do you know what you're doing? Now then, I'm gonna lay some things out to you. And if you want to ignore those things, you can ignore those things. But there is a responsibility. But then I feel like that's what I don't like to do. You understand? But that doesn't mean I don't do it. Okay? I just don't hang a shingle out. You're with me? But give to God. You give to the people. I couldn't imagine charging for doing some type of ministry service. I couldn't imagine charging for that. A wedding? A funeral? My goodness, you're going to take advantage of somebody in their time of grief? You got to be kidding me. And I'll rejoice with you on the wedding aspect. You understand? I'm happy for you. That's my gift to you. We all need to learn to give what we have to the Lord, and then follow the Spirit of God and let the Lord bless the people He wants to bless with your gifts, your abilities, your finances, or whatever. But don't withhold from God while you're giving to people. You give to God and then give the other, what's left over. You use that to give to people. Doesn't this make sense to you? Now, before we take a break, I just want to get this out to you. We mentioned this at the start of this study, that only 34% of the Christians surveyed by George Gallup, and this has been several years ago, it's probably a less percent now, but only 34% actually tithe. 4% gave less than 3% regularly. That's not even tithe, you understand? So consequently, only 38% of Christians or even given regular. And then they wonder why they're in the situation they're in. Why isn't God blessing me? Why is this? Why is that? Well, somebody's going to get you money. It can be God, it can be the doctor, it can be this place, it can be that place, you know. Just give to God. God can't bless you if you willfully walk in the curse. He can't bless you. There's some things God can't do. He can't lie. And He can't just turn away from sin. He can't just, oh, well, I understand. That's okay. You know. No, if you choose not to obey God, then it stops God from blessing you. But when you choose to obey God, it opens the door for Him to bless you. So tithing the tithe is important. Yet it seems to be ignored or overlooked. And it's a command of God. Now I'm not going to go into that because I want to read the Scripture, because a lot of people have never heard of this. But tithing is talking over what you bring to God. Okay? And so due to time, we'll stop right there and we'll pick back up on page 11, letter G at the top of the page, when we come back off from your break, okay?